Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the SmackDown review here on the WWE Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, and I'm going to be doing the best I can to get you through the SmackDown that aired on October 2nd, 2020. This is my first time reviewing a SmackDown, so bear with me here, but I'm going to do the best I can. It shouldn't be really too hard considering the SmackDown that I have to work with here. I was very impressed. I'm a big fan of what SmackDown's got going on lately, from storylines to character development to the matches themselves. I mean, there's a lot SmackDown has going for them here. So we're just going to dive in. I mean, there's a lot to cover here, starting with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, who kick off SmackDown by cutting a promo, basically verbally attacking Jey Uso. Their reasoning for that is he didn't acknowledge Roman Reigns as the tribal chief at Clash of Champions. That's really bothering Roman. He is making that very obvious. But he's real calm about it. It just seems like he's really bothered, but he's not like freaking out or anything like that. He's kind of just showing his anger through his eyes. And I feel like that's one thing that with this heel turn, Roman Reigns is really got that look down, just that will sell anybody. It's a shame that there's no crowds, because I really want to see how they'd be reacting to him. But here in this segment, he eventually calls Jey Uso out to the ring. He comes, they go back and forth, Jey talking about how he could have won the match, he should have won the match, blah blah blah. We all know that was never going to happen, but he does continue to make his case, and that eventually gets him a rematch Roman Reigns offers him for Hell in a Cell, which I think everybody on planet Earth will agree that this storyline, this program, is not worthy of a Hell in a Cell. Prime example of the pay-per-view booking and the gimmick pay-per-views hurting a promo or a program, sorry. But nonetheless, it's going to happen. So we just have to accept it and enjoy it. Hopefully, it'll be another good match. I mean, the match that they had at Clash of Champions was not bad by any means. I was definitely intrigued by it, just by the brutal beatdown Roman was doing to him. I imagine it'll be more of the same. Probably just taking up a notch, obviously, being inside the Hell in a Cell, so that's going to do itself. But as far as Jey Uso as a singles competitor goes, we do see more of that here. He has a match against AJ Styles after AJ interrupts him, goes into the ring, and he's just insulting Jey about losing to Roman, saying he doesn't deserve a rematch, yada, yada, yada. He eventually mentions his brother, which leads to Jey attacking him. The refs split it up. As soon as we come back for commercial break, we get a one-on-one match between them two. A decent match. I enjoyed it. I was actually kind of surprised that Jey Uso got the clean win, but that just shows what they're doing there. They're just trying to build him up as much as they can, getting him ready for that singles run that looks like it's going to be happening pretty quick now. One thing to keep an eye on with them teasing the WWE draft is tag teams have a history of being split up in these things. The Dudley Boys obviously have done it. I'm sure some other tag teams have in the past. So with them already dipping their toes in the water of Jey Uso having a singles run, I would not be surprised if the Usos are split up and we see a singles run on each show by Jimmy and Jey Uso. But moving on here, after the commercial break, we come back to a program, or a promo, excuse me, keep getting those two mixed up, by Sami Zayn. This is an A-plus promo. Can't say enough good things about AJ's, or about Sami Zayn, sorry, on the mic. My opinion, I mean, he's probably the best that WWE has on the mic right now. I mean, he's just, I mean, he brings it every single week. He doesn't pull punches. His new character that he has is just probably the best he's been during his time at WWE, so I'm all for it here. This promo in particular, he has both championships, the real and quote-unquote fake Intercontinental Champion, or championship, and he begins this saying how basically he never lost his championship, reiterating the fact that AJ Styles was a fraud champion, Jeff Hardy was a fraud champion, the WWE Universe should have came out and said that neither one of these two guys deserve it, blah, blah, blah. Just cutting that heel promo that you know is going to get fans wanting to see him get his head kicked off, which is great on his part. He's doing a great job doing that. I actually like what he does here with throwing the belt in the trash, because me personally, I wasn't a fan of them having two belts at the top of the ladder at Clash of Champions. I thought that was weird. I mean, the whole two championship thing, I liked what they were doing before in the build-up to Clash of Champions, just basically beating the fact that Sami Zayn never lost his, and he was going to be obnoxious about it. He wasn't going to stop bringing his championship to SmackDown, to all the matches. And nonetheless, they put two at the top up there, which, like I just said, I wasn't a fan of. I thought it should have just been one. So whenever I saw he had two championships at the beginning of this promo, I was actually like, really? Are they going to keep going with that? But luckily they threw it away. And Sami Zayn declared himself as the rightful and undisputed Intercontinental Champion. After that, we got a couple squash matches. Otis beat John Morrison. Does anybody really care about that? That just basically got your little sprinkle of the Money in the Bank. Just to remind you, it's still there. I mean, no one knows what's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but it is still there on Otis, so they're going to make sure to let you know about that. Right after that, Sheamus dominates Chad Gable in their one-on-one match. I think the main accomplishment for this was the Big E interview before the match where he challenges Sheamus to a Falls Count Anywhere match next week on SmackDown. The match itself wasn't that impressive. It was actually shorter than the Otis match, if I'm not mistaken. So those two matches were basically just fillers. I mean, whenever you have a couple solid storylines like they have, you're able to do things like that and still get away with it, which is kind of what they do next with the KO show. This is one of the good storylines I was talking about. Alexa Bliss as a special guest. So you can imagine what's going to happen there. I think it was pretty obvious. I was actually really looking forward to this segment from the perspective that I really, really want to see where they go with this Alexa Bliss storyline. I mean, you want to talk about A-plus performance. Look no further than Alexa Bliss. Even last week on SmackDown, I was extremely impressed with just her look. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain really exactly what it is, but sometimes wrestlers can impress you without even being in the ring, just literally their character and how they look, the vibes they get off, and I'm getting that with Alexa Bliss here. I mean, honestly, it's kind of shades of JBL and his character change, just whenever you talk about efficiency and being able to really, really make the most of it. I feel like she's going to really benefit from this. I mean, it adds a whole nother layer to her that she is just absolutely knocking out of the park. This Kevin Owens show, though, it begins with, you know, kind of a little bit of small talk. Kevin Owens, you know, he starts to flood her with questions about her quote-unquote darkness, trying to learn more about Aleister Black. That was the excuse he used. And she kind of gives off a creepy vibe from the start. She begins talking about The Fiend, and what it's like to encounter him. She kind of talks about it in detail. It was actually kind of creepy. Just her look, like I was saying earlier, I mean, just marvelous. I love it. But Kevin Owens then asks her if the Fiend is in the arena. She replies kind of with that look, saying he's everywhere. And she says that she can hear him now, which right then, whenever she says that, you just see her face kind of just instantly in the snap just change from that little creepy smile she had to just a straight face just looking right at Kevin Owens right after she says, let him in. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a 27-year-old man, and I even had the hairs just kind of stand up on that. I mean, horror movies kind of get me sometimes, and that was just, seemed like it was straight from it. I'm a really big fan of this. And like I said, the lights go out, the Fiend appears, and he attacks Kevin Owens with the Mandible Claw. As Alexa kind of sits there in her chair, she doesn't move, she just watches the entire thing, and this lasts probably like, I don't know, a minute to 2 minutes. I mean, it was definitely a lengthy attack, and she just watches it. And as Owens is laying there flat in the ring, we see Alexa Bliss, I don't know if it's a symbolic thing, but she kind of just embraces her new character as the Fiend offers his hand and she takes it. And that was kind of, to me, just the nail in the coffin, so to speak, is just her character change. I mean, I feel like she's embracing it. I don't know really what to expect going forward. I imagine that those two are going to be kept on the same show so they can continue this angle, because it is just, I mean, it's one of the best things they got going on SmackDown. That and Roman Reigns, it actually kind of makes me want to use, I mean, I'm not sure how many of you listeners are familiar with football, but a football analogy here. With the offensive line, you will never, or you will very rarely, find an offensive line where all five players of that unit are elite to above average players. I mean, they're out there, but they're very rare. But the great or good offensive lines that are consistently good are the ones that have two to maybe three above average players, and the rest, I mean, you could fill them in, you can replace them. That's kind of what I feel like SmackDown has with their Roman Reigns angle and just his heel turn. I mean, that's the talk of the business right now. So that, along with Alexa Bliss and her character change, me personally, I mean, those two are neck and neck for me whenever I'm watching SmackDown. I love that Alexa Bliss angle, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that continue. And then whenever you add just what Sami Zayn is doing, I mean, that's not a bad third on there for a two-hour show. You're able to do some of the things like Otis defeats John Morrison in less than 2 minutes, and then Sheamus has a squash match. I mean, you're able to do things like that whenever you have quality storylines, at least, you know, one or two of them. So I feel like, I mean, I don't know, that might not have been too great of an analogy, but you get what I'm saying. SmackDown, when they have really strong storylines at the top and the middle of the show, they're able to close with Jeff Hardy versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship match, which was match of the night, by the way, in my opinion. So, I don't know, that's why I feel like SmackDown is getting better by the week. I mean, they're cooking with gas here with these things they got. Because after the Kevin Owens show, which is something that, you know, obviously probably not many people are interested in, at least, you know, in comparison to, I mean, that's a tough act to follow, that Kevin Owens show. So after that, we get the six-man tag match between Baron Corbin, Shinsuke, and Cesaro versus Lucha House Party and Matt Riddle. Before this match, you see Riddle and Lucha House Party, they're backstage kind of giving an interview with Caleb Braxton. And this is where they kind of start to magnify the cracks in Lucha House Party by the other two members. I'm not really too familiar with their names, so that's on me. But I know one of them is, what's his name? The one with the long hair. Dang, I guess I don't know their names. But, Grand Metalik, sorry. I don't know why it was slipping me, but there it is. Him and the other one teamed up with Riddle, but they were backstage. And they were kind of, you know, they were just joking, you know, talking about Kalisto. They even called him big-headed at one point. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, they didn't do that for no reason. They're definitely trying to show the cracks in this team, which I'm not really sure why. I don't know who is, you know, banging the table for more Kalisto or any of the other two members of that group. But that just shows you. I mean, with SmackDown, even with something as low on the card or the pecking order as Lucha House Party, they're even showing consistent storylines in that. So, I mean, I will appreciate that. And it is honestly making me a little bit more interested in that going forward. So it's just one thing that I'm appreciating about SmackDown. So whoever is in charge of that lately, I mean, trust me, I will be the first person to criticize if they are doing stuff that, you know, is below the bar, so to speak, or the standard, which happens a lot. So I feel like the least I can do is praise them when it's due. But anyway, back to that match. Kalisto does come out to the ring during the six-man tag match, and he's supporting Lucha House Party and Riddle. At least that's what you think. He's on the outside of the ring, kind of banging on the ring. He would be getting the crowd pumped up if they were actually real. But like in any other match where people are on the outside, eventually somebody's going to try to interfere. And that's exactly what happens. Kalisto jumps on the apron and tries to kick, I believe it was Cesaro. And of course, Cesaro moves. The person who gets kicked is one of the members of Lucha House Party. But that distraction right there alone was enough to distract Cesaro from his opponent, who was Riddle, in the middle of the ring. And then Riddle, of course, does the famous roll-up to get the win. And that match is over, and then obviously Kalisto comes in the ring and starts pushing, or not Kalisto, I'm sorry, the one who Kalisto hit while they're celebrating in the ring. He comes back in there, gets up off the ground, and obviously starts pushing Kalisto. They start fighting, just kind of showing it. I mean, Matt Riddle, the refs, everybody's trying to split them up, which I'm not sure why. I mean, at this point, I'm just saying, just let them fight already. But they are going to continue this, it looks like. I mean, that's just one tag team. If you could bet on wrestling, I would almost put money on that Lucha House Party is getting split up in this draft. But when SmackDown comes back from the commercial, they give that little teaser showing the woman in the dress. I mean, I'm pretty sure that everybody who watches wrestling, after the first couple times, they kind of had an idea on who it was. I mean, I didn't even need to see the rumors or the leaks, whatever you want to call it, to know who this was. It was revealed to be Carmella, for those that don't know. And, I mean, as far as Carmella goes, I mean, she was obviously long overdue for a fresh coat of paint, a character switch. I'm kind of excited that she finally gets that. She was really, her last gimmick was associated with Enzo and Cass, and she really couldn't shake that no matter what. I mean, some people probably still got reminded of that. I know the first time I saw her was at a live event here in Amarillo, Texas, before Enzo and Cass were even on the main roster. And I didn't watch NXT at the time, so I had no idea who these people were. I just see, you know, an obnoxious group with like a huge giant guy. And I was like, man, I mean, I have no idea who these guys are. But anyways, it's nice to see her finally get, you know, something new. I expect her to stay on SmackDown, but that's not a given. Nothing really is in this draft that's coming up. I kind of wish the champions could stay on their shows, but that's a whole nother topic for a different day. But as far as Carmella goes, I mean, I'm excited. I don't know if this character change is going to really affect her in the ring. I mean, I assume she'll have some new gear, but she's one of those wrestlers who kind of just does her thing. I mean, she's done it since for as long as I've seen her. But from one SmackDown women's wrestler to the next, we move on to Sasha Banks, who comes out to the ring wearing her neck brace still, so she's still selling that injury. At least at the beginning she was. And she comes out and she does her normal, you know, pissed off, you'll never beat me without anybody in your corner. I mean, she doesn't really say anything that we haven't heard her say before. So I think that this, I mean, I've heard a lot of people want to stretch this program out towards WrestleMania and maybe even further. I mean, I just don't see how. I mean, I love it. I would love to see, you know, a lengthy program between these two. But I mean, if you're starting it in October, I don't see how that's happening. But nonetheless, this is a good Sasha promo. I mean, just because it's predictable and repetitive doesn't mean it's not good. She comes out and just basically, like I said earlier, explains how Bayley basically can't beat her by herself, which she might have a point there. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But she eventually takes off her neck brace and tells Bayley, "You don't have a chance." Beep. I mean, you can guess what that beep was. She called her the B word, which is really getting tossed around a lot lately by the performers, or sorry, the wrestlers on both shows. I don't have a problem with it at all. Just one thing I've noticed, kind of takes you a little bit back to the Ruthless Aggression / Attitude Era with the wrestlers cussing on the mic. But, I mean, that wasn't really your A-plus Sasha promo. You didn't really get a lot out of it. She wasn't interrupted by anybody. After that, I'm pretty sure that SmackDown goes off the air, or not the air, sorry. They go to commercial break, and whenever they come back from commercial break, it is time for the main event, which is Sami Zayn versus Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental Championship. Like I said earlier, this is match of the night to me. These two just put on an absolute show. Jeff Hardy can still go, like, oh, or maybe not like he always has, but he has not lost that many steps, and just seeing these two in the ring together kind of is a good way to end the show, and a good way to end an overall good episode of SmackDown. Like I said, I'm really excited for what SmackDown has going forward. It's the first time I could say that in a while. I mean, as everyone knows, SmackDown is the quote-unquote B-show to Raw. That's been debatable for a very, very long time, but there's a lot of stuff to be excited about going forward for both brands. When you look at just the landscape, you got Hell in a Cell coming up. You got Survivor Series coming up after that. And that's always one of my favorite pay-per-views. I'm kind of curious how they're going to do it this year. I imagine they're going to bring NXT up to make it kind of a three-way brand elimination thing, kind of how they did it last year. I'm just curious to see if they're going to let NXT absolutely obliterate the main roster like they did last year. I hope not. I hope it's more competitive. And really, we don't even know who's going to be on each team because of the draft coming up. So, but that's number one to be excited about. It gives people a reason to tune in to SmackDown and Raw coming up just to see where their favorite superstars go, what the shows are going to look like. I know I'm really excited to take a hard look at that SmackDown roster after the draft to see what we got going forward. But as for now, guys, I really appreciate you guys listening to me today. It was an honor and a privilege to review this SmackDown. I love the WWE podcast. I love SmackDown. So just being able to talk about it with you guys and just chop it up was really awesome. I had a great time. I hope you guys did too. And I hope you guys will listen to me again when that time comes. But for now, I will talk to you next time.